Hello, I'm Grant Johnson. Welcome to my father's podcast. It's our desire today that you be blessed and encouraged by today's message. I'll be back later to let you know how you can receive additional information on our ministry at drcraigjohnson.net. God bless you.
What is God up to? I think we're going to find an answer this morning in one of my favorite texts of Scripture, Psalm 131. It's the shortest psalm to read and the hardest one to learn. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. May God bless the reading of his word. And I'd also like to add a scripture that you don't have in your bulletin, Genesis 21:8. The child grew and was weaned. And on the day Isaac was weaned, Abram held a great feast. And verse 14 says, and Ishmael was put out. Loved one, this text this morning is very significant in the history of Israel. Part of the Shir HaMa'alot, the Psalms of Degrees, or the Psalms of Ascent. Psalm 120 to Psalm 134 represent 15 psalms that represented the songs that were chanted and sung over and over as the children of Israel went up to Jerusalem. When you approached Jerusalem, you were going up. And they're called the Songs of Degrees, or the Songs of Ascent. And this is the 12th one, Psalm 131, and it is written by David, and it is about David, but it is the most beautiful psalm because as David is ascending into the house of the Lord, and I'm speaking over you today in Jesus' name, those of you that have been weaned from so many things that used to hold your attention, so many things you used to grasp for, so many, oh, loved one, an unweaned child is the most radical, selfish, narcissistic creature that you will ever see, because all the unweaned child wants is mama's breast, grasping, seizing, always anxious. The second a pang of hunger hits, hysteria hits, and mama is reduced to the category of a mere milk dispensing machine. An unweaned child is desperate, flailing. Have you ever been so desperate? Have you ever been addicted to something that you cannot live without? That's the portrait of an unweaned child. David is going up to Jerusalem, and I'm speaking in Jesus' name over your precious lives today. Many of you have gone through the painful process of weaning, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute. And after one is weaned, there's a sense of settledness and peace and quiet that comes upon your being. And I just really believe with all my heart, Genesis 21 says, the day Isaac was weaned, there was a great feast. Did you know there's a great feast prepared for you who have allowed the Lord to work his weaning process in your life, to remove from you what you used to starve for, to remove from you things that you used to have a taste for. To the unweaned child, mama's just breast moving around. That's it. The child doesn't see mama. There's no personal relationship with mama. There's an addictive relationship to the milk. Has the Lord been weaning you from anything? What doesn't have to be extraordinary sin? I'm sure many of you need to be weaned from some nasty thing. I don't want to know about it. Talk to your counselor. That's why you pay him. Don't put all that on me.
And then when I was 14, I began,
it isn't always a crucial sin. It could be a good thing he's weaning you from because he wants the best thing for you. But Lord, that's such a good thing. May be good, may be morally neutral, may not be a moral issue, may be a wisdom issue, but nonetheless, he knows how to wean his children from things they've been grasping at, living by. David knew what it meant to be unweaned. Now, as we look at this snapshot of his life right now, he's at peace, he's at rest, he's in submission. He's going up to God's house in a new way. Many of you are, you're going up another level in your life. God's opening a new door and a new level for you. But this time, you're not going to go to that new level like you've been before. You're not going to be frantic, attached to the breast. You're going to be in a posture of peace where you can sit on mama's lap and now look around in peace and rest and tranquility, and you can see God in a new way, and you'll see people in a new way, and you'll see your whole life and ministry in a new way. It's a limited sight for the baby who is unweaned. All he ever sees are breasts. That's it. There's no other world. He won't look anywhere, left, right. He will never turn around. He will never sit contented on his mother's lap just to love mama. He has to have what mama gives. You've heard me say it before. Do you want the blessing or the blessor? Do you want the deliverance or the deliverer? Do you want the gift or the gift giver? Oh, God is moving us to a place where we love him for him and not for what he can give us. Isn't it time to seek his face instead of his hand? Come on. Look at the book of Job. People say, oh, you go through hard times. Look at Job. Oh, loved one, don't misunderstand Job. Job, the whole theme of the book of Job is a glorious theme. God says to the enemy, by the way, have you considered my servant Job? People say, well, he sinned and dropped the hedge and brought it demonic. No. God said to the devil, hey, devil, I want to show someone to you that loves me for me and not the stuff I give him. The devil said, no, doesn't exist. Isn't it funny? Satan can't understand love and service and self-sacrificial love because it isn't in him. So he's always, to the impure, all things are impure. The whole book of Job is God saying, I have some babies that love me for me, and it doesn't matter if you take their money, and it doesn't matter if you take their relationship, and it doesn't matter if you take their job, and it doesn't matter if you take their health. They're going to get better, not bitter, and they're going to say with Job, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm reminded of a story I heard in a Pentecostal church where a deacon, whenever he felt the anointing of God, he would run and jump pews. And one time the glory was strong in the room, and he jumped to three pews and caught his foot in the fourth and fell down and cracked his head open. And all the ushers ran over to him, and he looked up and said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Job loved God for God, period. In the weaning of a child, we see the process of weaning, and it's necessary, and it's difficult, and it hurts because the Lord begins to say no to things that we think are a life-giving source to us. Has he ever said no to a person, a place, a thing, a situation, an opportunity? And at first, when you see an unweaned child, all hell breaks loose. Oh, loved one, we've been unweaned as a church. Unweaned churches, unweaned friendships, unweaned relationships. When mama begins to wean the baby and deny that child what they think is their only source of life, mama's not crazy. Mama's not mad. Mama's not upset. Mama wants to bring you into a new relationship with her. To move from the milk dispensing machine paradigm to the look into my eyes, I'm a human being made in the image of God. And when mama weans the baby, she's not saying no forever to everything. She's just taking the appetite that remains and she's transforming it into new directions. Anyone going through a weaning, whoa, loved one, he's been weaning us. Why? Because he wants to take us up to the next level in the song of ascent, but this next level we're going to enter in peace and at rest. Notice the two things that happened when Isaac was weaned. There was a feast. I believe the Lord is just about ready to invite you to a feast where he will recognize all the sorrows, all the losses, all the fateful years, and give you a little medal, give you a little crown, give you some kudos. Atta girl, atta boy. It's been a long haul. It's been decades. And for some of you, it has been years of going without, years of being weaned from almost everything. And you just go, Craig, is this going to go on forever? Oh, no, no, no. The day Isaac was weaned, there was a feast. And secondly, there was a deliverance. Ishmael, who had been the torment of Isaac's life, was thrown out. Oh, this kind cometh out but by prayer and fasting. Do you know your life can be tormented by demonic powers that just seem to rule and reign and they don't leave? Well, when we're weaned, a feast is given and a deliverance occurs. Can someone say amen? He said, Craig, I need that. I need that. Yes, 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 I need that. Okay. Well, good news. You're hearing the right word at the right time from the right man for once. Now, I want to look at three things here with regard to David, because David, this psalm was written by David, but he is the principal focus of this psalm. See, isn't it comforting to know that David, who was a king without limit, he had all power to do whatever he wants. David was the Constitution. Yet David has come to a place where he has chosen humility over pride, which will yield a new rest in his life. David knew what it was like to be unweaned. He wasn't high and lifted up above you. He's testifying to what he was. Oh, Craig, I was an unweaned child. I was a little king. Oh, man, I was nasty. I was self-focused. I was grasping. I was frantic. You know, it's like a nervous man teaching on peace. It's almost impossible. A chain-smoking chihuahua. We're going to talk about the peace of God today. It's like, oh, okay, well, in principle, yes. In practice, no. You know, they're just some folk that, you know, They need to be weaned a little bit more before they teach on peace. Huh? Because you communicate what you are. You can say anything you want. You communicate what you are. Did you know that? Yeah. I heard an angry man trying to teach on love the other day. He was in 1 Corinthians 13. He landed on the right ground. But I'd never heard that so defiled before. Love is patient and kind. Never envy. I mean, I needed a Dramamine just to, you know, I could, you know, the tone and the body language wasn't matching up. But you see, in weaning, God lines up your tone and your body language in concert with the message, and for once in your life, you can go to a new ascent. You can go to a new level, but this time you're going to be so leveled, David said. I've leveled my heart, and I've chosen humility over pride. Let me look at the text again. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Listen to this. David speaks of pride. David chooses humility over pride, and peace is the result. David is saying, I submit to my life. I am resigned to the limits that the Lord has set for me. Oh, loved one, instead of frantic, frenetic grasping and fits of desiring our own way, can we listen to what David is saying? David says, I've been weaned, Lord. I was once proud, but now I'm humble, and I don't want anything other than the limits you've set upon my life. Psalm 16:6 says, my lines have fallen in pleasant places. You know what that means? That means I accept the limits that you've set around my life. And I'm good. Doesn't mean we don't excel. Doesn't mean we don't grow. It doesn't mean we don't progress. But it means first we accept the limits that the Lord has placed around us. Isn't that peaceful? You can't do everything. You can't know everything. Oh, I was the biggest unweaned child in the history of the body of Christ. There's film in heaven. Not in 11, but it is in heaven somewhere where I'm working to get it erased. I'm making a case. The blood of Jesus is going to erase that footage. No, it's charming when a baby's nursing, you know. And you know, the women used to nurse their babies 3 to 5 years of age. That's a long time on tap. But can you imagine a 40-year-old in a diaper nursing? Oh, whoa. But see, sometimes we're great big baby Hueys. I know you can't unthink that. I'm sorry. I don't know where to go on this. Some of you just need to grow up and be mature and you're listening today. See, now without cussing, you can say to someone, you unweaned. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That's a little more. Why, bless you, you're so unweaned, aren't you, darling? I'm going to pray for you. There were so many years that I was just frantic all the time. Even in the work of God, you can become a human doing instead of a human being. Did you know God will even wean you from the mistress of ministry? Oh, he's quit to preaching and gone to meddling. You don't need to be weaned from some exotic sin. It doesn't always have to be something that's morally wrong or forbidden in Scripture. It can be good things, even good ministry that you're doing in Jesus' name, and you're frantic about maintaining that. And the Lord says, I'm sorry. Best thing I can do for you is take that away from you for a while. Take away the ministry. Why? Come out, devil. Have you been rebuking the Holy Spirit lately? I found myself rebuking the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. I command you to stop that in my life in Jesus' name. The Holy Ghost, Craig, I'm not going anywhere. You can shout and claim Isaiah 54 and in Hebrew and scream it over the house. I'm removing from you what you thought you couldn't live without, but it was something that would keep you a baby forever. Someone say amen. Is he weaning? Yeah. Yes, he is. And it's beautiful. And mama's not mad. And he's not angry with you. He just wants you to feed on other things that will allow you to grow up and not keep you a baby forever. Oh, we just want the same old stuff all the time, don't we? If anyone messes with your sameness, they better watch out. You know, you learn all you need to know about someone by how they handle your no. I thought that was my name the first 2 years of my life. No. You ever seen a kid when you say no? No. An unweaned child will manifest, scream and holler and scrape and cry and cuss and howl. But look at your age and look in the mirror, you unweaned little thing. You've been doing the same thing. In your 20s, in your 30s, in your 40s, do you see how important it is that this the beauty of weaning is allowed, that we need to cooperate and say, well, I've been really on tap here for a long time, and I think maybe I need some other things. And in the process of weaning, there's a beautiful thing that's occurring that the child does not understand. They don't understand that there is a deepening of relationship. Mom is going from milk dispenser to a person. And David says, as he's walking up to Jerusalem, listen to this, the 12th song of ascent. My heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Oh, loved one, did you know that a look can contain a world of meaning? Did you know pride is fundamentally seen in the eye? The haughty look. You looking down on others. Oh, Lord. Aren't you just about tired of everybody talking nasty about everybody else? Do you really need to cut somebody down to your level to somehow level them and become a peer to you? Well, I just don't understand why they're doing that. It's pride. Pride. The haughty look. Looking down on the waitress. Looking down on the homeless. Looking down on everyone else. You know, when people, when professors rate themselves at universities, they ask, you know, are you less than good? Are you just good? Or are you extraordinary? They all list that they're extraordinary because pride dwells in all of us, even in subtle seed form. Your appetite can be curbed, but it's not killed. Watch out for pride. David is a king. He's got all power. He can do whatever he wants, but he's chosen to submit himself. Did you know Isaac submitted to Abraham, tying him to the altar? He was 25 years old. He could have fought back, but he didn't dare resist his father. David says, I've got all power in this world, but I've learned to accept the limits in my life, and I accept humility. And you look into my eye, and no more will you see a haughty glance. No more will you see false judgment coming out of me about everybody. And the second thing he says, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. This is David surrendering all of his ambition and choosing simplicity over complexity. And rest was the result. Oh, loved one, Isn't it liberating to know that you don't need to intrude on everybody else's business? You don't need to seek what's yet unrevealed. Stay within your 6 square feet and don't try to reach out to 7. Mind your own beeswax. Remember that? Mind your beeswax. Mind your business. Did you know that I just don't have enough time to intrude myself in other people's lives because it takes every moment of my day to keep me straight? People that have so much free time to be downing everyone else and judging everyone else and trying to level everyone else, I don't understand it because, well, I do understand it. They're unweaned children and they don't realize yet that it is not their business and it is not their job to attend to the high things in God's universe that you don't yet understand and in your neighbor's life and in your best friend's situation. There's such a contentment and a peace that comes. David said, oh, I've been weaned of pride. I'm now humble. Oh, and I've been weaned of ambition too. I don't want to know any unrevealed thing. I just want to mind my own business and do the next right thing and see just enough light to take the next right step for Craig's life. Isn't it liberating to be at peace and to know you don't have to grasp an ambition? But if I don't do something and get on the treadmill and exhaust myself, then I won't. Loved one, God has called you to be a human being, not a human doing. Even in the ministry, you need to stop the treadmill. Get off. Sit down. God did not marry you to work for him. Selah. Put that on your fridge. Yes, but we're supposed... God, you didn't hear me. God did not marry you to work for him. If you never do anything for him, he's fine. He's really big. He's got 7 billion people on the planet. He's got this. What would he do without me? Probably more. He didn't marry you to work for him. If you never witness to another person, win another person for Christ, or show all the display of your wondrous ministry plumage, he's fine. Because you see, he knows that unweaned ministry, ministry done by unweaned children, is dicey and racy at best. Now, God can strike a straight blow with a crooked stick. That's my whole story for 50 years. I wasn't 5 when I went into ministry. I was 16. Yeah. So whatever that is, 16 to 55. There was too much Craig in it for so long, but isn't he wonderful to strike a straight blow with a crooked stick? Isn't that great? He can use you in spite of you. But he wants rather to have us weaned so that we can know the joy of humility over pride, simplicity over complexity. Oh, I tried to know everything. I went on the whole paper chase. I was an apologist. I've got to know everything. I've got to have an answer to everything. Not only an answer, but I've got to be able to give you a proof and persuade you. No pressure. My generation is a generation of unweaned children. Did you know that we were not breastfed? Dr. Spock said we were to be bottle fed. The idiot. Thought breastfeeding was harmful. Loved one, think for yourself. The expert might be wrong. Now, later he wrote a book refuting himself. That's after I was raised my whole life without breastfeeding. Do you know what you do when you have not been breastfed? You put things in your mouth. You smoke. You drink, you eat, you bite your fingernails because there's a sense of never being settled and never being able just to calm down. Do you know what I'm talking about? Come on. Everyone we knew would not breastfeed their children. I'm telling you what. If you don't have that primary bond when you're a baby, you're going to be searching the rest of your life to put something in your mouth to still you, to calm you. But good news today, the precious Holy Spirit of God is big enough to fill up the deepest parts of your heart where you've starved and thirsted and hungered and wean you from anything that will keep you a baby forever. Mama never says, I'm not going to give you food again. She just says, I'm going to take the appetite you have and I'm going to steer it in some redemptive directions. Is the Lord weaning you from pride to humility? Oh, let him work his work. The Quakers used to talk about peace at the center. Isn't that beautiful? Peace at the center. It's like, if I had peace at the center, flowing from my center, everybody around me is going to be peaced out. Anything I do say is going to have more weight than it normally does. Than when I'm jacked up on caffeine and Diet Coke. Open your Bibles to John chapter 3. If I hear any more preachers that have a tone and body language that is as sharp as gall, I can't listen anymore. You know, I'm not judging anybody. You know what I'm saying? You know, the Bible says things, but the Bible doesn't provide the tone and body language. The Holy Spirit has to. My brother used to do it. My parents would say, could you get Craig for dinner? My brother would come out and say, Craig, get in here now. Mom and Dad want to talk to you. Now, that isn't what they said. But he put that tone and body language on it. Now, I didn't want to come in because I was terrified. You see, in the weaning process, you start matching the tone and the body language with the content God's calling you to give, and there's a sense of humility, there's a sense of simplicity. And third, David says, surely I have behaved myself as a child that is weaned from his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let all Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. Listen to this. David surrenders all of his ambition and being quiet. He's not intruding on any affairs other than his own. And I want you to see something. Hope springs forth in him and before him when he is at peace and at rest and full of calm. Hope is an expectation of a good thing. Isn't it nice just to be able to expect something good is going to happen? Not fairy dust or magic wands or everybody telling you you're going to have a jet. Well, I'm going to have a jet someday. And I won't be praying for you people on my prayer jet when I go by. I'll be interceding. I'm teasing. That's what I need, a Gulfstream jet. Yeah, then it'll all turn around. Do you know when you're weaned, you're just not hungry for what you used to be hungry for? Do you know what? You know how best to pray for people? Okay, the best thing to do is to say, not only thy kingdom come, Lord, thy will be done in so-and-so's life, but say, Lord, wean them from anything. Just, do you know, Mama used to either hide the breast from the baby, still got mad, or they would put paste, bitter gall on the breast, make it taste nasty. Has God been making anything taste nasty that used to taste delicious to you? That's what he does. Just pray that God remove a taste for what the person has a taste for. Don't go. If a dog has a bone and it's his only friend and it's all he's ever known, don't try to pull it out of his mouth. He'll tear your arm off. Put a piece of prime rib down and leave the room. You don't have to have exhaustive dog deboning equipment, you know. Now, the bell will go off and the loud siren, and then this little clip will grab the bone when he releases it. No. Just put a piece of prime rib down and leave. It's his idea to drop the bone. It's his idea that I don't have a taste for bones when I can have prime rib. You put a Ruth's Chris steak right in front of him, and you don't need to preach. You don't need a seminar. He'll drop the bone. Then don't mention the bone ever again. Just slowly move it out of the way once he's chosen to drop it and get the prime rib. That's weaning a dog. Call Caesar on that one. Tell him that I'm ahead of him. Tell him the Bible whisperer. Just laid it down. Just say, Lord, have you ever just had something in your life that you couldn't live without and all of a sudden just doesn't taste the same way anymore? Just doesn't taste good. That's your idea then. When you don't like the taste of something, you won't taste it anymore. You don't need a spouse going, Father, kill him, Lord. Come out, devil. You can really like rest and put that down. Just say, Lord, change their taste in Jesus' name. Change what they're thirsty for and hungry for. Oh, loved one, that's what I was praying this week. Somebody called me with a testimony about somebody's a heroin addict. He's a heroin addict. Ah! And I said, well, you know what? All hunger and thirst is a hunger for heaven. Come on. every hunger for sex, for drugs, for alcohol, for food, any mood altering that you can do is simply a hunger for heaven. And if you view it that way, you'll stop denigrating everybody and say, Lord, I know they're hungry and thirsty. Let's switch that appetite onto something that you can reward and you can bless. That's how you pray. You don't preach and yell and pull bones out of dogs' mouths. Well, Pastor, that was good. Thank God for this mini seminar you did on dog deboning. Amen. Could have charged you $200 a piece for that. Is he weaning you? Yep, he is. But you know what? Here's the good news, and this is the part that I felt was the prophetic word over you. The day Isaac was weaned, there was a feast. And you know, weaning was very important because it represented an end of the extended season when a child's life was threatened. Did you know the weaning was so celebrated because the child had made it alive through all the greatest hardships of its young life? And I believe the Lord is speaking to many of you who are alive at the end of your weaning process. Good for you. There's a feast just ahead for you with your name on it. It's not a feast where you share a birthday with somebody else. Isn't that nasty? We're doing what? Yeah, well, Kyle's birthday is your birthday day and Grandma Lulu's birthday, so we're going to just have a birthday for... What do parents think? I know a guy who was born on Christmas Day. Pray for him. He's very conflicted about. But you want a birthday cake with your name on it. You want presents that are sculpted for you. Jesus has that. He has a feast at the end of this weaning process. And you are going to be so blessed because you're going up into this new season. And notice the weaned child. He can come to mama now and he can lay on her breast. He can lay on the very ground that he was so addictively dysfunctional on, and for the first time, he's at peace. Hi, mama. Hi, baby. Not grasping. Come on. Aren't you glad God uses unweaned people? But it's a little embarrassing, isn't it? Don't worry. Don't feel shame and guilt, though, in Jesus' name. We've all been babies. Just take comfort. I've been up in front of people since I was 16, so all my unweanedness has been witnessed in public. You lucky thing. Stay in your little cave until you're weaned. I'm up in front strutting around, being weaned in public. Humility over pride, simplicity over complexity. Unbridled licentiousness given over for self-control. And now the child can lay on the very thing that used to cause his addictiveness, and he's at peace and at rest. His appetite has changed in new directions, but there is a feast coming to you, O weaned one. There is a deliverance coming to you, O weaned one. The day of that weaning feast, Ishmael was thrown out, the tormentor that had tormented Isaac relentlessly, and one day was thrown out. And you've survived all of the hardships of life that could have taken your life. Good news, you're still alive. He that is still alive has hope. You have hope. I speak now over you in the name of Jesus, a delightful anointing of rest. Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak to your lamb, your beloved daughter, your beloved son. I speak, Holy One, that you would blindfold them and gently lead them down the hallway. And when you pull the blindfold off, we pray that there would be a feast laid before them in their name. I just hear the Son of God saying, thank you so much for staying alive and enduring the weaning process. Thank you. It doesn't go on forever. It's coming to an end. And a feast is going to be set before you. And Ishmael will be thrown out. Everything that has tortured you and tormented you will be removed on that feast day. And he will begin to speak kindly unto you and decorate you and give you a medal and give you maybe a little hat or a little mantle or something precious, saying, thank you. Thank you for enduring all these difficulties. The weaned child. Father, we want to step higher and we want to go up to the temple again, but this time we're turning away from what we used to nurse upon, and we're going to look at you in a new way. We're going to look around us, and now we're going to see others, and we're going to see people from a place of rest. I thank you for the next level of my precious loved one's life is going to be a level of rest, calm, peace. Oh, a resignation to your providence that is so wonderful. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done. My lines have fallen in pleasant places. I resign to my fate. I resign to my 6 square feet. I completely surrender to my place in your work. He loves you so much. Just close your eyes right now. He loves you so much. It's almost over. It's almost over. This whole season, this tormenting season, is almost over. You're coming out. You're coming out of the cave. This is not false hope. This is true hope. You're coming out. You're coming out to a feast in your honor. You're coming out. Just the next few months, don't worry about it. He's drawing you by the hand, and he's bringing you out into a wider world to look around. Bringing you out of the cave where you've dwelt, and he's saying, look at the sunrise. Look at the sunset. He's bringing you into a wider world. The more I seek you, the more I find you. The more I find you, the more I love you. I want to sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heart beat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, so overwhelming. I want to sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heart beat. Yeah. This love is so deep, is more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, is overwhelming. We love you and we accept your love, and we revel in your love, Lord. We exalt in your love. We thank you for your great love, wherewith you have loved us with an everlasting love. Thank you, Lord, that we are your beloved, upon whom your favor rests. We're not what we do. We're not what we have. We're not what others say about us. We are your beloved, upon whom your favor rests. And I speak a blessing on your beloved spiritually and emotionally and financially and mentally and, Father, relationally. I pray a blessing to encompass your precious beloved. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Healing through blessing. I thank you that the rest of your life will be healing through fruitfulness and blessing, a weight of blessing to bring healing, a weight of favor to bring healing, a turnaround of delight that would bring final healing to your life. No more struggling to find healing, but such weighty fruit of refreshment and encouragement that you will just be stupefied by abundance that will bring a final healing in every nook and cranny of your heart. And someone say amen in Jesus' name. Can you give him praise where you are right now? Can you give him praise? Isn't he wonderful? Isn't he wonderful?
We hope today's message has been a blessing to you. And if it has, please visit our website at drcraigjohnson.net. There you can find additional messages of encouragement. And if our ministry has been a blessing to you, please consider including us in your ministry giving, as we depend solely on the financial assistance of faithful listeners like yourself. And also, please feel free to send any personal prayer requests. You can find us online at drcraigjohnson.net. God bless you.